Welcome back, Mistakes listeners. This is Dave, and this is Parenting Mistakes. This is episode 63. We recorded this episode last month, April 25th, 2016. Of course, we're producing it today. Hey, so this particular episode, we actually asked the question, should you let your kids play football? It's a great question, and it was a very interesting debate. You can also, if you want, follow us on Twitter at Parent Mistakes. You can also like us on Facebook at Parenting Mistakes. You can also email us at parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. And as always, sit back and enjoy the show.
So as you are aware, I was in Yosemite over spring break.
That is true.
And you were in Southern Oregon.
Yeah.
And we were closer than we normally are, but probably not actually that close.
Okay.
That's neither here nor there.
Right.
So we're...
why did you say it?
Well, because last time, in our previous episode, we talked about how we didn't realize that we were sort of reasonably close to each other. And you're like, oh, well, you should have told me where you were, and we could have just popped down from Southern Oregon and hung out.
Well, yeah.
You remember this?
I
know it was a long
yes,
time.
Yes, I do. I do remember this.
Ago, so it was a long time ago for you. I understand.
I do. I get it, but I don't understand why you're bringing it up again.
I'm just giving reference to the audience.
For what? You went to Yosemite. That's it.
Okay, so I went to Yosemite.
Right.
And we did a little hiking, went up to a waterfall, and then we were sort of cruising around some little trails. And we were with some friends that live up there. We met up with them and did a little hiking with them. So we discover this place where there is a river and there are some fallen trees over the river.
Okay.
Which means you can cross the river on these fallen trees, these big logs.
Redwoods. Big sequoias.
Yeah, well, they're not gigantic. It's not like you drive your car across them. They're still...
Yes, okay.
And this is not the official way to cross the river.
Right.
As designated by the Forest Service.
Oh, they have signs?
No, there weren't signs. But it's one of those things where my son, who was 15, and my daughter, who was 11, and one of our family friends, they decide that they're going to cross on these logs.
Right. But there's nothing saying you can't do that.
Correct. There's nothing saying you can't do that. But as they're crossing, and they're crossing a river that's moving pretty quickly.
Wait, time out. Just to be clear here, when you're saying there are rules about crossing the river on a tree, they're technically not. Unless, of course, you're saying if a ranger was next to you guys, he would say, no, you cannot cross the river on a tree that's fallen across the river.
This has nothing to do with rules.
Well, but it's a question of safety.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So that's what I'm
yes.
saying is that
yes.
in America, you actually can cross a river with the fallen tree.
Can you? Is there a federal law?
I think you can, right?
Did the founding fathers, you know, enact that law?
This is bond. This American citizens are allowed to cross at their freedom and leisure on any tree that has fallen in the woods, right?
Okay. Anyway.
The question is, did you hear it fall if no one was there? Okay.
All
right, so you're saying, but it's, so what I'm saying is, it's totally cool to do this.
Well, I don't know if it's totally cool to do this, but to your point, no, there are no signs because it's Yosemite and it's the forest. And if the Forest Service was going to try to put signs every place that there might be danger, there would be signs everywhere.
Yes, I totally agree.
They would be all up and down the river and up every steep hill anyway. So as my kids are crossing this, and I'm looking at the river, which is rushing underneath, and I'm saying to myself, okay, we as parents sort of waffle between enjoying moments that our kids are also enjoying, but also being a little cautious sometimes. Because I'm looking at the river and saying to myself, okay, if they fall off this log, they're probably going to be in pretty deep trouble because this river's rushing pretty fast and they're not automatically going to die, but we're going to be sprinting down the river trying to, you know, put a tree branch out there to grab them. Okay?
Yes.
So here is the dilemma.
Or like Superman 2, you use your heat vision to shoot the tree branch into the water.
Superman 2? This is a Niagara Falls that we're talking about.
Okay.
So I was sort of stuck as a, not stuck as a parent, but I sort of had a discussion in my head because part of me was like, oh, that's cool. It's a cool log. It's a cool little adventure.
It's your American right.
It's
to cross logs.
I wasn't thinking in patriotic terms.
I am.
Okay.
Now that you've got me thinking about this, next log I see over a river. Woohoo!
But then the cautious, protective parent part of me said, oh, that's no, let's not do that. Let's stay on the path. Let's
right. No. Stay. Well, okay, but that is a rule. The rangers will tell you, you have to stay in the path.
Yes.
You cannot, they don't want you going off the path. So they are now breaking a rule.
Okay. You're missing the point here.
I'm trying to help you as a parent, and you didn't think of all the angles here.
I'm not worried about the rule breaking at this point.
Okay.
That's a whole, you know, our civic duty.
Rules are there to keep us safe, right?
I understand that. I understand that.
They're not just there to, you know, bug you. Is that how you feel about rules?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
But I'm saying in this particular context, I was more thinking about my kids' core safety.
And so is the American government.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Well, you don't leave the trail. They're leaving the trail. Now suddenly they're, I get what you're saying, right? You had a little bit of like, I had dual brain.
Yes.
One which is, I remember that time in eighth grade when I was with Dave and I was climbing around the cliffs and almost falling into the Puget Sound.
Oh, yeah.
And we got in big trouble there, right?
Yeah.
But hey, adventure, right?
Right.
And what a great experience, and we'll never forget it.
Got really dirty, too.
And we really got dirty, and we were in trouble. No doubt about it.
I don't remember getting in trouble. Did we get in trouble?
No. No one got – Like, as far as the circumstances were concerned –
we got ourselves into trouble.
One misstep, and we were in the drink. And
yes.
Who knows what would have happened at that point.
Yes. Yes. I remember sort of shimmying down a hill, like sliding down.
Yes.
And just trying to not fall.
Right. And then ending up in a situation where it was like inches from the water trying to get around this thing.
Yes. Yes, I remember that. But that was, again, us on our own.
Yep.
Not with parental oversight.
Yep.
So I tell you this story, which you took in a very patriotic direction.
I'm with you. I'm on the same page. But I do think as a parent, we do consider all the rules when we're in that environment, right?
We do. We do. And yet we will flaunt those rules that we don't necessarily see as really either applying to us or being more a suggestion than an absolute edict to follow.
Okay, so let me help you out of here.
Okay.
Forget the rules. Forget America. As you're sitting there, you're thinking to yourself, gee, which child went on the log? Was there a child that went on the log?
Two of them, yes.
Okay,
I told.
So two of your children.
You weren't paying attention to the details of the story. You were thinking about.
Well, I knew somebody went on the log.
Both Jonathan and Meg went on the log.
And you're thinking to yourself, but there's another equation. There's one, there's safety.
Yes.
There's two, there's adventure. And there's also three, which is, man, it's a good experience game. Right? Like.
Sort of.
For them, like, to go through this experience, and maybe they'll sit there and go, man, I don't want to do that again because it freaked me out or whatever, or,
yes,
right?
Yes.
I mean, there's all sorts of different weird things that are happening as a parent when that scenario unfolds.
Correct. So, that sort of transitions us into our topic of the evening, which is sort of child safety, but we're going to pick a couple of topics within that.
Let's just really narrow. Let's zero in on the topic that you'd like to talk about.
Well, okay. What I was going to ask you about and or discuss is sports, and in particular, sports where you have a higher instance of injury or possibility of injury. And the sport I was thinking about is the sport that's sort of being scrutinized these days, particularly from a parental standpoint, and that's football. Which, you know, for those of you, again, who have not listened to our podcast before, Dave and I grew up together. We went to junior high and high school together. I played basketball, and I ran track. Dave was part of the elite cross-country team.
Yep, that's true.
Yes, the few, the mighty cross-country team.
And it was painful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dave is not a sports guy.
I am not, but I have watched all 5 seasons of Friday Night Lights.
Really?
Yes, I have.
Have you really?
Oh, it's an amazing show.
See, I've never watched that.
It's a great show.
Okay. So Dave is not a sports guy. He is a outdoorsman. I know that. Would you describe yourself as an outdoorsman?
Absolutely.
He is a hiker, and so he is certainly has a, what do we say, an athletic nature to you, an active nature.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I imagine you will probably promote that with your girls.
I am already taking the ladies out on hikes as we are speaking, right? So we are in this time period, they are hiking with me.
So this particular topic isn't necessarily as applicable for you in terms of your future with your daughters, unless they're one of those rare girls, which there are girls every once in a while that go out for the high school football team.
You know where this comes up for me? It's gymnastics.
Okay.
So there's actually a lot of risk when watching gymnastics, and you know that a lot of accidents happen, especially with tumbling.
Yes.
And Maddie has totally gotten into it.
Okay.
And we go to the little gym every week, and every week they are pushing her towards further risk.
Yes.
Right? She gets up on the balance beam. It's clearly, I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it is about 4 feet off the ground.
Yes.
Right? And if she falls, she falls on a very soft mat. But at the end of the day, if she falls on her head, no matter what you're landing on, it's going to be risky, right?
Right. She does some flip and she puts her head right on that beam or something like
right.
that.
Right. And right now they're teaching them how to do it. Like, so right now the instructor will take them across with 2 hands. Well, this last week the instructor took them with just 1 hand, and you can kind of hear the parents going, right, kind of a hush as each child is kind of brought into a situation in which the child is actually like, no, I want 2 hands, and the instructor is pushing the other hand away. Right?
Okay, like, so let me ask you this, and we can ask this question back and forth to each other. What is the point here of, say, gymnastics? I mean, okay, we could go back to maybe, well, statistically speaking, your daughter is not going to be an Olympian.
No. Probably not.
And also not necessarily going to pursue a career in gymnastics training of the next generation. Not
you're
going
right.
To
I mean, yeah, you're right. I
could certainly could. You know, could end up working for the YMCA or teaching gymnastics camps or maybe.
I like where you're going with this.
Yeah,
yep.
Could go down that road. But low percentage of people doing that.
Right.
So what's the point?
Exactly. Like, why would I ever do this? My child's not going to be the next, say, Dorothy Hamill. I know that she was an ice skater. But
I was going to say, I think she
was. That was the only thing that could come into my brain.
Mary Lou Retton.
There you go. Thank
there,
you.
There, right? there's the name from our generation.
But, you know, I mean, basically all these physical activities, what are they amounting to? Well, and like what you're saying, which is, well, it's not going to really amount to a career. It's not really going to amount to her becoming a top secret government assassin, you know, who needs to learn all these gymnastic abilities. Like, it's what's a struggle here right now, Todd, is I actually have not answered this question for myself.
Okay.
I literally said to myself, well, Maddie going to the gym is a good thing. But if you ask me why I think Maddie going to the gym is a good thing, I don't have an answer. Right?
Sure.
I don't, I mean, I could, I have to come up with an answer now. And I think
Well,
that's kind of what you're kind of pushing towards.
yeah. I mean, and again, I could give you, because my kids did a little gymnastics as well, and there were some positives from it. Does she enjoy it?
Maddie loves it.
Okay. What do you think she loves?
She loves actually the ability to move her body in ways that I can't teach her.
Okay.
So she really likes tumbling, and she likes the accomplishment of tumbling, and that the ability to just manipulate your bodies in ways that you just can't normally do at home. And there you can kind of go crazy. You can run, jump, skip, tumble. You're on the parallel bars. You're doing bouncings, and I think she likes the fact that she is challenging herself. Like she
Okay.
likes the challenge.
Okay. So she's being active. She is learning new things. She is finding a sense of satisfaction and accomplishment. And is it a camaraderie thing for her at all? I mean, is
Not
she.
at this point. There's parallel play that occurs with other kids,
Okay.
but she doesn't really have friendships developed yet.
So it's. I mean, and I
At that
imagine.
age, it's all parallel play.
Okay. And I imagine probably with. Is this like Parks and Recs type of stuff?
Oh, it's a little gym,
Okay.
right?
So you don't necessarily go with a bunch of people that you know, it's a bunch of strangers getting
It's a bunch of
together.
strangers getting together, and away we go.
Yeah, you do your little session and then you leave. Okay. So let's apply the same principle to my kids playing high school sports. And let's go to the football question. So I have a son who is 15. He's a freshman this year. And well, let me ask you this. If you had a son, would you allow him to play high school tackle football? You can answer now.
I sorry, I am so sorry. It was a long, weirdo pause.
It's okay.
Okay, so
You can't see this on the podcast, but Dave is
this is
thinking deeply.
okay. Here's my frustration, is that I came into team activities later in life. I did not have the sports experience, I mean, in cross country, you're by yourself. When you're playing golf, you're by yourself. When you're playing track, you're running kind of by yourself. You might run against others, but ultimately, if you're good, you're kind of beating yourself at that point.
It's a lot of individual sports
Right? How can I
together.
throw further? How can I jump further? And this is going to sound very strange, and I'm not trying to plug video games, but I actually got into a lot of team activities in later life by playing a lot of massively multiplayer games. And it was some of the absolute best experiences I've ever had.
Okay.
Because of the team element of it, because I was interacting with folks, developing a camaraderie, and taking on some sort of task that was extremely hard, impossible to beat, and we did it. And I've never felt higher. Like, as far as like an experience as a human being is concerned, outside of some of my spirituality, and of course my marriage and having children and all that business, in my social or in my personal life, that is a huge high for me. So if my son comes to me and says, I want to be involved in some sort of team activity, so I have to say, like when watching our friend Devin go to state, it was very hard for me to understand all of the immense feelings that he was having at that time. But he's reached the peak, right? Of
Right.
his basketball career, and that must have been the most wonderful, amazing feeling to have. Like, I've accomplished this, and in fact, I've rallied the team around me, and we took this team to state. And I go, that is so valuable. I can't even put a price on it, right? It's priceless. So when an individual or when my, let's say my daughters, and who knows if they're going to be able to play football? Who knows, right? It could happen. I don't know. Times change all the time around here. Boy, that's a different question in itself. So if I had a son, it'd be really difficult for me to answer that question because if he said, I'm in it, Dad, because I want to experience the team and the team camaraderie and some of the things you've talked about, it'd be hard for me to, I'd be hard pressed to say no, even knowing the dangers.
Okay, so I'll buy the team camaraderie and the sort of going into battle together type of deal. Mm-hmm. And when you accomplish it with a group, particularly if it's your friends,
mm-hmm.
that you're right. And having played team sports, I can concur that that is a very positive feeling. Where do you draw the line in terms of which of those types of activities you do? Because,
right.
And let me give you again, let me give you perspective on this. And I'm sort of burying the lead, but my son did indicate interest in playing high school football. He played flag football from 5th through 8th grade, which they have at our school. And he was good at it, and he had a good time, and that sort of thing. We said no to high school tackle football.
Yep.
And mostly it was because of safety concerns. Part of it was due to him, because he's just not built for football.
Sure.
And
and that's definitely a variable, right?
Yeah. And he's a good athlete, he's a competitor, but he doesn't have sort of a killer instinct. It helps to have a sort of a killer instinct. And we've actually received some critique from other parents for not letting him do that. Like, people have, you know, sort of, there's kind of a macho factor with football.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people dismiss kind of the medical side of things, either because they played and they're not dead.
Sure.
Or because they think it's kind of a conspiracy, or it's sort of the sissifying of America, that type of deal.
Well, and you also said it earlier, too. They're not, I would say, what is it? What percentage of human being actually ends up in, say, college football? Right. This is their shot, right? And
right.
This is only going to be around for, like, what, 2 years at best?
Right.
And then it's gone.
So this is my question. Because I've actually had people make the argument to me that what you were describing, the camaraderie, the sense of accomplishment when you do it as a team and you overcome obstacles, that that is somehow heightened when it's, say, a football team versus mm-hmm. other sports.
I would have to agree that that's true.
That they're, well, but how do you know that? Is that just from observation?
From observation.
I mean,
it is the American sport. Not to get patriotic, but this
well,
is the sport.
Is.
This
the
is Disney. Our sport.
Yeah, the business side of things says
right.
that and that football is king.
And if you are in sports, right? Like, if you're into that, the amount of, I don't want to say pressure, but not even anxiety, but there is just, it is the number one sport. What's the word I'm looking for? That when Jonathan's thinking about football, bar none, it's the best thing on earth, right? Like,
right.
When he's invited into that, this is it, right?
Right.
There is just so much behind football
right.
versus, say, soccer.
And it is the number one popular sport, say, in the high school experience, and for a lot of high schools. My wife teaches at their high school, and we go to the football games in the fall, and they are the community event.
Mm-hmm.
Big stadium, a lot of people. There are these boosters that come out and cook tri-tip. I mean, it is an event.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun. It's a great time.
You should watch Friday Night Lights. You'd love
I know.
It.
You I know.
Would
I
love
probably
it.
Would.
You should take some time out, dude, because it actually does a lot of what you're talking about. And in fact, the coach of that particular show, in his mind, injury, it's not even a factor or a variable. What that coach's epistemology is, I am building men using the tool of football.
Okay.
And so when people are like, oh, my son's going to get hurt, and he's like, that's not what football's about. It's not about injury. It's not about pain. It's about me discipling your boy to become a man.
Okay, but then again, the question is that to say that you cannot build, you're not going to build as good of a man unless they play football, unless they go sort of that gladiator experience?
In that show, that's what he would say.
Okay.
Now, you and I know that's not true.
Right. Can you get the same
Right.
thing from basketball team, soccer team, cross country team?
Cross country, probably not, because that's been my experience. And I can't say that I'm a better or worse person for that, other than I know how to run. I know how to run properly without getting shin splints.
Yeah. But how big was your cross country team?
Oh, I think we had, probably 15 folks.
Okay, so both my oldest daughter Emma and my son Jonathan were on the cross country team this year. There's 75 kids on that team.
Oh,
So
wow. Wow.
it is a big deal. It
Yeah.
is ton of people. It is a lot of people running together, a lot of friends running together, a lot of people cheering you on. So that's a whole different thing.
Sure. So my experience is different. And I would have to say that my experience of becoming a man happened in college outside of sports. Right? When I had to start making some real life choices and who am I going to be, as it turns out, right? Like, is going to occur at some of these turning points in college that didn't involve sports whatsoever. And I actually think I'm a pretty good man.
I think you're a good man too, but good
But,
man, Charlie Brown.
as they would have it, if, and I think what you're saying is that there are some people in this world, like they have that killer instinct or they really want to compete, that football might be the proper avenue for them. The problem is, and there's the issue, and there's no, is there a percentage on it? Like, is there a percentage on what's the chance of somebody really getting hurt in football? And maybe we could say 100% you're going to get hurt. But
Yeah.
a like life altering injury, is it like what, 5%, 10%?
I don't know, but I know that football has the highest percentage
Sure.
just because you have sort of a constant pounding. Particularly people like linemen, that are lining up and just smashing into each other all game long. The number of times, I would say when we go for football games in the fall, the number of times that they drive an ambulance onto the field and take a player away is,
Yeesh.
I mean, we see that 4 or 5 times a year
Wow.
where
Wow.
somebody gets strapped onto a board and taken to the ER,
And
and
they're a
that's the thing.
kid. They're
And they're a
like
kid.
16, 17, 18.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I guess here's another question. Are we making a different type of decision, or is it sort of just on the same spectrum if we say, okay, no football, but you can play soccer or you could play basketball, both of which also have risk of injury. We've been to soccer games. Soccer can be very violent. Guys, kicking each other, run each other out of bounds. Guys get concussions, tear up your knees, that sort of thing. Basketball can be very physical. People getting hurt, breaking ankles, that sort of stuff. Are we making a different fundamental decision with football, or is it just kind of we're picking something on sort of a squishy spectrum of risk? Like, is there football and there's everything else? Or, I don't know. And then again, I know you're an observer. I'm an observer as well, to a certain extent.
Well, I'm trying to go back to the log analogy at the beginning of the show, right? Because we're
Yes.
always making these risk assessments.
Yes.
And, in my case, if I saw Kayleen or Maddie at their age going across that log, I'd have all the same thinking that you had, but I would definitely say no. I'm sorry, you can't go across the log on your own. Or you're not even going to go with me. It's just not going to happen. And that's a pretty easy assessment. Although, and here's the weird part, Maddie's been in gym class. She actually has some training around this. She could bounce across that log and be have no problem whatsoever. So I'm like, why not let her go across the log? Right?
Well, and here's where I don't know, this is just sort of striking me right now is that it's almost like when we did this little thing in Yosemite, we went back across, my kids went back and forth across the log a couple of times, and then we were done, and we moved on. When you're talking about certain sports like football, you're talking about saying, okay, now go across that log 100 times. And instead of just walking across the log, I want you to run across the log and do it 100 times. And at some point, a foot is going to slip and in they go, if that's the scenario that you're looking at.
No, I think you're right, and I don't think there is a single, and I could be very wrong about this, but to get into football and have the expectation that there isn't going to be some form of pain or falling off the log is ridiculous.
Right, and we know this, you know, even just from sport. I mean, our kids did cross country, which, you know, if there's any contact in cross country, you're doing something wrong, right? I mean, you're you can bump into people a little bit, but they still came out with a lot of pain.
Oh yeah, no, I had horrible shin splints, for example. I had shin splints that were horrible.
I think for us, you know, the spectrum is it's more the neurological stuff. It's what's happening to your brain. It's what happened to your spine. That type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Where you sort of say, okay, you play basketball. I remember playing basketball in high school, spraining ankles. You know, sprained ankles are going to heal and you're going to be fine. Land on your head a few times, that's a little different. It feels different.
Yep.
Okay, so let me ask you this final question. And this is about parenting just in general, because then it gets into what you support and what you don't. Are we hypocrites because we say, no, you may not play, but we will go watch? Not only that, but we are, and we did a Super Bowl show not so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our family is active watchers of college football and professional football. We watch a lot of it during the fall and winter. Are we hypocrites because we say, no, we don't think it's a good decision for you from a safety standpoint, but we'll watch lots of other people take risks that could cause long-term damage to them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that hypocrisy?
Well, let's turn it a little bit on its ear, and I think you kind of gave a key to the situation. Football's not going to go away, right? And no matter how much we discuss this topic, I don't think football's going away. I think technology eventually will get better, right? They're obviously trying to work on some form of helmet that keeps some of that stuff from really affecting your brain, right?
Yeah.
And hopefully they have better padding. I mean, the technology will get better. Regardless of that, you were already making an assessment. You look at Jonathan, you're like, well, he doesn't really have the football player build, and I don't see that he's become a quarterback, right? Right.
Probably not.
He's probably going to be, I don't know what he's going to be, but assessing who he is and then just judging his personality, that's probably the better discussion to have, say, with, say, Jonathan, to say, hey, son, there's a lot of things about you, and you're just not a football guy. Now, of course, I can see all sorts of counter arguments coming out of his brain. But
right.
There's a way as a parent to have a discussion with your child to really kind of get into it and say, hey, what is driving you here? You know, what is it that drives you towards football? Because ultimately, if I have a daughter that ends up being 6'7" and is 500 pounds, all muscle, I'm like, man, it's going to be hard for me to say, don't play football.
Right.
I'm going to say, go for it. Right?
Well,
I don't want you to get hurt, but man, this seems like your gig, kid.
Yeah, and I think that's the hard part is, and parents have to deal with this, is that he asked. He wanted to. He
sure
wanted to do this. And even if we do have the conversation with him to say, yeah, you know, you could get hurt. Or if we say to him, yeah, I don't know, I don't see you as having a, you know, rip people's heads off football personality. He might still sort of say, okay, well,
yeah,
I still want to.
I'm sure he'd have all sorts of counter arguments to it. That's what I'm saying. I'm
right.
Sure there's a way in which you can have a conversation with a child that's in this position to balance it out, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think this is hard for parents because we do want our kids to pursue things that they're interested in, because when they are interested, when they are engaged, that is when it does bring out some of the best. You talked about, you know, your daughter and being challenged and sort of enjoying the challenge and enjoying the feeling of accomplishment of getting past certain hurdles and then moving on to more. That's a developmental thing. Then it's not necessarily about the sport. It's about them growing as a person and being comfortable with taking on new challenges and enjoying that. So that's what's hard, because a kid says, "Hey, I want to do this," and you go, "No, you can't." And they say, "Well, but this is what is I'm drawn to. I'm
Right, and
intrigued by
it's
this."
the family activity. Like, we're a
Right.
football house. Like,
Right.
how dare you say this, Dad?
Right.
And I think that you would have a different discussion if you actually did have a football child. Like, this kid obviously was really meant to be playing this sport.
Well, I don't know if I would or not, because, I mean, I do think he could go out and play, and I think he could be decent. I think he could succeed on some level. It isn't as much, it's more the safety factor than it is his personality. That is part of it, but it's more about saying, in the long run, in the grand scheme of things, do I want to risk long-term physical damage for essentially what? You know, the appeal of the camaraderie and the team and that sort of thing.
And this is where we're probably going to diverge. I think it's the experience of a lifetime. I do. I think to have that experience and to have it kind of like this is a chapter in my life, that's a big deal, dude.
Sure.
And
And
and that's where I'd have a real conflict, because I'm like, I know that football brings all those things for any person that decides to play. Okay, that's
my
just a blanket statement,
No, I
but.
understand that. Right. And that's why, again, when I say it's not like I say, "Hey, we didn't let our kid play football and nobody should let their kids play
Right,
football."
exactly.
I'm not trying to ban the thing, to sort of say every family's got to make that own decision.
Right.
I look at it as, okay, I'll buy some of that, but I think that can be accomplished through other means. I
Yeah,
don't
and
think
the
that.
episode, this episode is about risk assessment.
Right. It's risk reward.
Right.
Right? Because, yeah,
So
you go
even
back.
if you had a child that was 6 foot two, 250 pounds of all muscle, you would look at that child and say, "No, you're not playing football."
I don't know. I
Like, and
don't. I.
had the killer instinct and all that
Yeah.
stuff,
I
right?
don't know. I don't know if it would be different at that point, because, you know, if we if, to beat the log analogy to death, the reason I'm okay with my two kids where they are right now on that log is that they are both older, more physically sure of themselves, able to handle that. They are old enough in that, and they're athletic enough to have balance, and they are mature enough to respect the danger.
And if they fall in the water, they can swim out.
Well,
Quote
yes,
unquote.
but yeah, I mean, and they have they do have the survival instincts to probably.
Yeah. If Maddie falls in, whoo-hoo, you know, it's a done deal.
Right. So yeah, to your point, if my kid is gigantic and he can just shove all these other kids out of the way, I don't know if it's different. I really don't. You know, some of this is things we've been talking about for a few years now, and we sort of have kind of known this for a little while. And so, yeah, it's hard to say. But I think that ultimately, as you said, you're talking about every situation where you're trying to balance those two factors, because you can't shield your kid forever.
Nope.
And there will come some point where you aren't around, and they are, as we did on state trip, go off on our own and do a little hiking trip and get into trouble.
Sure. And I'm sure Jonathan's already been there, for example. I'm sure there are some stories he
Probably.
hasn't told you that he just got into, because I don't know, have we ever told our parents that story? Like, they'd care now, but.
I think it would be hard to put in context
Yeah,
because.
and well, I tell you, I would never. I did not come home from state trip telling them that story right away,
No, I did not either. No.
right?
And we certainly didn't go back until Mr. Hernacki, wasn't he?
Oh
Wasn't
yeah,
he?
we had Mr.
Yeah.
Hernacki and,
Mrs.
gosh,
Schroeder?
Mrs. Schroeder, right?
Yeah. We didn't run back. I think we might have had to explain a little bit, because I think we were quite dirty.
Sure, but you know, hey, they're just.
I think we fell down in the dirt.
Yeah, or eighth grade nerds, whatever, right? I'm sure, yeah, whatever. I'm sure they didn't even notice.
Well, I look forward to seeing your daughter on the football team when she hits the high
No,
school or on the Olympics.
I mean, yeah, and I, yeah. So, I mean,
She's going to be an Olympic gymnast.
yeah, and I don't know if there is a nice little bow that we can put on this episode. Like, we never do. We just
Well,
have
we're
the
not supposed
discussion.
to.
Sometimes I like a bow, but, you know.
Do you like a bow?
I do, but, you know,
I would just
it's
say
not going
go.
to happen here.
I would just say go Seahawks. Go Seahawks, go Huskies. All right, so you can follow us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter, Parent Mistakes, and you can like our Facebook page, Parenting Mistakes. You can leave us comments, what you'd like us to discuss in the future. You can tell me that I should let my kid play football, and I might dialogue with you. You can also send us an email, parentingmistakes@hotmail.com, and we have a Patreon account where you can support us financially, and you can pick up these podcasts on iTunes and Podomatic and YouTube.
Yes,
We are everywhere.
we are. It's a true story. And we know that our numbers are growing,
Yes,
which
we
is
do.
good.
Our numbers are growing.
So the
Yes,
more
tell all
people we
your
have, the
parents.
more
Tell all your
feedback we
parents.
expect.
Tell all the parents and future parents and past parents, and we'd love to hear your feedback.